Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Tzadi Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Dalid. You will notice that there is a triangle marking highlighting two situations regarding distance from Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan, the time that one is commanded to do the Korban Pesach. We know from the Torah and from our previous shiur that if someone is bederech rechoika, if he is at a distance, and how to define distance we saw was a machloikis between Ula and Rav Yehuda, as well as a machloikis tanoim on that topic. How one defines that was, as we say, a controversy. We continue now on that topic in this Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan, 5 lines from the top of Tzadi Dalid, Hoya Oimed Chutz Lamodiyin. If a person is outside of the Modian distance. Modian is the name of a place, but it represents a distance of 15 mil. V'yochol likones besusim ubefrodim. The 15 mil was a distance time ratio based on walking. The time during which it takes to walk 15 mil would have been enough time to arrive. Now, in this case, he is standing at a distance greater than 15 mil, so he wouldn't be able to walk the 15 mil to get to Yerushalayim on time for doing the Korban Pesach. However, he has a means of transportation that is faster than walking. And therefore, as the source says, he's standing beyond Modian, beyond the 15 mil mark. 15 mil is approximately 15 kilometers. V'yochol likones besusim ufrodim, and he can get in there with swift animals like horses or mules, which is simply another way of saying you can get there faster than walking. So therefore, even though your distance is more than 15 mil, time-wise, it will take less than 15 mil of walking time to cover that distance. Yochel yehe chayov, because of the pace. Does that mean he now becomes obligated to do the Korban Pesach? And if he doesn't, he'll be chayev kores if he doesn't do it? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, uvaderech lo hoya v'halo hoya baderech. The Pasuk says that he is chayev for doing the Korban Pesach, and if he doesn't, he's chayev kores, he'll be subject to the kores punishment if he was not baderech. Now, this fellow was baderech. Baderech means literally on the road. This fellow was on the road. In other words, the Torah is not basing the obligation or exemption simply based on time. It's a function of being at that distance, objectively speaking. You're objectively at that distance. You are, if you are more than 15 mil, you are exempt, regardless of the ability to make it on time. Imagine an opposite case. A person is within the 15 mil mark. And he can't make it in time because of camels and caravans that are preventing him. Now, that doesn't mean literally caravans and camels, but Rashi points out, and he was bringing his little kids with him that cause his delay. Yochel lo yehe chayav, is he going to be exempt as a result of that? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Uvaderech lo hoya. He is chayev kores if he was not baderech. Vehare lo hoya baderech. This person was not baderech. Derech is defined by a distance of more than 15 mil. He was not at that distance, so he is not considered baderech. The Pasuk says, if you are not baderech, then one will be chayev kores. And therefore, his obligation in this particular case is to send away or have a babysitter take care of the children, and you hasten to do your Korban Pesach. You go by yourself. As we continue in the Gemara, it's incumbent upon us to issue a major disclaimer. And we do this with a heavy heart, and we say so unfortunately, but as far as the balance of today's shiur, from this point till the end of Amud Beis, let's say more accurately, till the first wide line of Amud Beis, we will not be able to provide a thorough, clear explanation as we attempt to do throughout our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim. The nature of the content of this Gemara is a bit, maybe mysterious or abstract. It is something that involves, we'll say, some astronomical observations and calculations that are a bit difficult to understand on a translation level, which is essentially the level of learning that we engage in our Gemara marking Shiurim. We will try to present basically a literal translation of the Gemara, but cautioning that that as far as a true understanding, even on a superficial level, we're not really going to be able to achieve that. So translation, yes. Understanding, no. And we apologize ahead of time for our limited abilities with regard to this particular topic matter. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading where we've written Rava. Rava makes a comment, Ha'olam kulo, the world equals Shisa Alfi Parsi. The dimension of the world measures 6,000 parsa. Now, as we said, one parsa is 4 mil, and hence if you see 6,000 parsa, that would be 24,000 mil, and a mil is a kilometer. Interestingly enough, the 24,000 figure in terms of miles, which is different obviously than a kilometer, but when one measures the circumference of the globe, number that is often used is something close to that, something in the order of magnitude of 25,000 miles in circumference. But that's just a comment that's by the way. Let us continue in the Gemara. Again, we'll probably mention from time to time our disclaimer, just so that we don't think that we're really understanding what we're learning regarding today's shiur. Let's continue, though, all the same. Omar Rava, Shisa Alfi Parsi Havi Alma. The world measures 6,000 parsa. The Sumcha, the Rakia, Sumcha literally is the thickness of the Rokia. The Rokia, it literally is translated as the firmament, the heavens, but it's some phenomenon that we can't really explain more than our translation. We'll just say the thickness of the heaven is Alpha Parsi. If it's a reference to the atmosphere or as a reference to something of a mystical nature, that I cannot say. Just that the statistic here is thickness of Rokia, 1,000 parsa. Chado Gemara v'chado Sfora. One of these points is a Gemara, means it's an oral tradition, and Rashi points out that is a reference to the 6,000 parsa figure for the size of the world. the 1,000 of thickness of Rukia, this is something that we can calculate. Sovar law, and here's the calculation. Sovar law, ki ha di omar rabo bar barchan om Rabbi Yochanan. The Rava's conclusion regarding the 1,000 Rukia, 1,000 parsa Rukia statistic is based on Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that we just had before. Kamo mahalech odom benoni biyom. How much ground can a person cover by walking in one day? Yud parsos, which is the same as saying 40 mil. Me'alos ha-shachar vi'an ho'netzachamo. The amount of the distance a person can cover from dawn till sunrise equals hay milin. 5 mil. One can walk 5 mil in the time that during the time that lapses between between dawn and sunrise. Mishkias hachamo ad seis hakoychavim, from sunset till appearance of 3 stars, chamisha milin, also 5 mil. That leaves a balance of 30 mil that a person would be able to walk from sunrise till sunset. Nimtza, the result of this, we'll say, ratio, namely 5 mil from that we'll say pre sunrise hours, the 5 from dawn till sunrise, and daytime of actual sun appearance of 30 mil creates a ratio of 5 to 30. Nimsa uvio shorakia echod mishisha bayom. The thickness of the rakia is 1/6 of the day. How do we get to 1/6? Because in the 5 to 30 ratio, there are 6 times 5 in 30. So the 5 to 30 is the same as a 1 to 6 ratio, and the sun from dawn till sunrise, or from sunset till absolute darkness, is represented by 3 by the appearance of stars. That time frame corresponds to the sun's movement through the thickness of the rokia. So, what does that mean for us? It's a 1 to 6 ratio, is that not so? Therefore, if the world is 6,000 parsa, you maintain this 1 to 6 ratio, that results in the rokia being 1,000 parsa. The sun is visible for 6,000 parsa, so to speak, over the actual world, and the sun's movement through the thickness of the rakia is for 1/6 of that, 1,000 parsa. At this point, we see diamonds that appear, and they continue as a series marking till the bottom of the omid here, till the end of this omid. 5 diamonds will appear, and on the side we have 5 kushos al Rava. There are 5 attempts to challenge that which Rava teaches. There's an interesting structure that will appear here, is that there are challenges that are raised. Often in most Gemara structures where you have subsequent challenges, it's because the previous ones were dispelled. That's not all the time, but most of the time in the Shas, that's what happens. But not so over here. You will see challenges that are raised, and they're left as a problem, and the Gemara continues to bring additional sources that represent problems for Rava. If you skim ahead, you'll notice the term tyufta that appears, and following the tyufta, which it means a refutation, you don't find a response. So that is just a by the way that we're mentioning structurally an interesting phenomenon. Meisvei. Again, before we continue, Rava mentioned that the world, the Alma, is 6,000 parsa. We're going to challenge that statistic. Meisvei, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Ovil Shorokia, Echod Me'asora Bayom. Rabbi Yehuda says that the thickness of the Rokia is 1/10 of the day. Rashi, Toshma Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'chulei Echod Me'asora Bayom, Rabbi Yehuda Kochoshiv L'kula Yoima. Rabbi Yehuda, first of all, takes into consideration the entire day. Me'alosa Shachar Atzeis HaKochavim, from dawn till three stars. Miu Baha Mosfinan L'Rava. However, the question that will be posed to Rava, the Katoni Hocha, it says here, Me'alois HaShachar V'ad Honei Tzachamo Arbo Milin. That's what Rav Yehuda will tell us, that from dawn till sunrise is 4 milin. The Hainu Oive Horakia. That represents what's called the thickness of the Rakia, dawn till sunrise. V'chein Mishkiyosa V'atzeisa Kechavim Arbo Milin. Likewise, he will tell you that from sunset till appearance of stars is a distance, time-wise, walking distance, you can walk 4 mil. Poshu Luhu Lamed Beis Milin Mehonei Tzachama V'atzkiya. That would leave a balance of 32 mil from the balance after you subtract from 40. You subtract 4 and 4, which is subtract 8. That leaves you with 32. Utyufta derova udeula. This calculation, this Tanaic calculation, then represents a repudiation of Rava and Ula, the Amri Shloishim Milin. They spoke about a person's ability to walk 30 mil and during the course of the daytime hours, and the Tana Rav Yehuda says not 30 mil, but rather 32 mil. So we continue in the Tanaic source. After Rav Yehuda tells us that the Ovyu Shurakia is Echod Me'asora Bayom, and just, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but Ovyu Shurakia, the thickness of Rakia is the distance that the sun travels from dawn till sunrise. And that dawn till sunrise, as we say, that's obvious Rukia, that also is 4 mil in terms of amount of time, or amount of distance a person can cover in that amount of time, that's 4 mil. So that is Echod Me'asora Biyom, when you calculate the entire time of the day, namely from dawn till three stars, the entire time period during which a person can walk 40 mil. So the relationship between Ovyo Shorakia and the Yom is a 1/10. Teda kama malech oda beinoni biyom. How much can a person walk in an average person walk in a day? Eser parsos, 10 parsa, which is 40 mil. Omealosa shachar ad honei tzachamo arboas milim. And from dawn till sunrise, a person could walk 4 mil. Mishkia tzachamo v'atzeis ha-kechovim, from sunset till appearance of stars, arboas milin. Also, a person could walk 4 mil. Nimtseis oivya shurakia echod me'asor b'yom. The oivya shurakia, which is represented by 4 mil, because that's the time in which a person, that's the distance a person can walk from dawn till sunrise, that 4 mil is 1/10 of the entire distance that a person can walk throughout the entire day. Tyufta de Rava, Tyufta de Ula. This would appear to be then a repudiation of Rava and of Ula, who spoke about a person from Nates till Shkia covering only 30 mil. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, from Nates till Shkia, from sunrise till sunset, he speaks about 32 mil. So this would appear as a repudiation. Tiufta, it is a repudiation. The Gemara asks, Leimotevi Tiufta de Rabbi Yochanan. Should we not say this also is a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan? If you go back a number of lines, roughly 12 lines up or so, you can see we underline Rabbi Yochanan's name. And he spoke about they having a day's travel, 40 meal. And he seemed to go on to speak about from Alosa Shachar until Nate's 5 meal. And in this source, we see it presented as 4 meal. So is this source not a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Loch, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ano b'yamamahu di'amri. I personally spoke only about entire day distance, namely 40 meal. And that entire day distance time of walking from dawn till 3 stars, from the Tanaic standpoint, it's also 40 meal. It's there that I say Rabbi Yochanan and the source agree. As far as any additional comments, that wasn't me speaking. For Rabbonan who the Kotou, the Kochashvan, the Kadma v'Chashucha, the Rabbonan, namely Ula and Rava, they made a mistake. They are the ones that spoke about the 5 meal. And their mistake is, in other words, allotting more time for the 5 meal is a function of their having started their calculation from before dawn. And on the other end of the day, from allowing their calculation to go beyond what we call the appearance of 3 stars. And now we have another attempted question. This time against Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara asks, Lema teve tufta de Rabbi Chanina. Should we say that the following is that which we learned in the Tanaic source with Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the amount of distance you can travel between dawn and sunrise, between Alois HaShachar and Neitz, is 4 meal, where he, Rabbi Chanina, having learned from the incident of the Malochim and Loit escaping Sdoin to Tzoar, calculated 5 meal. So should we say that this is a repudiation of Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Chanina mentioned that he had seen the distance between Sdom and Tzoar as a distance of 5 meal. And the psukim tell us that from dawn till sunrise, Lot covered that distance. So is this Tanaic source not a problem for Rabbi Chanina? The Gemara says, Loi, it's not. Vayoitsu shiny. In the source, it mentioned that the angels hastened Lot, so that in a hastened fashion, then you could cover 5 meal in such a course of time. So the psukim that referred to the dawn till sunrise covering of distance from Sdoim to Tzoar, which was 5 meal, that was able to be accomplished because they were rushing. That's Vayoitsu. However, under normal circumstances, normal pace from dawn till sunrise, you would cover 4 meal. Ta Shema. Now we present another Tanaic source, which again will be a problem for Rava. So here's the first source, as you saw, resulted in a repudiation of Rava, and here again. Ta Shema Mitzrayim Hoya Arba Meos Parsal Arba Meos Parsa. The land of Egypt is described dimension wise as being 400 by 400 parsa. Umitzrayim echod mishishim bekush, and Mitzrayim is 1/60th of Kush. Kush is the name of another region or another country. Bekush echod mishishim ba'olam, and Kush represents 1/60th of the size of the world. The oilam echod mishishim began. The gan here is a reference to Gan Eden. And the world is 1/60th of the garden. The gan equals echod mishishim be'eden is 1/60th of Eden. And the Eden equals Echad Mishishim Begehenim. Eden is 1/60th of purgatory. Nimso Kolo Elum Kulo. So when you calculate these various calculations, it will come out that the whole world is a of negligible size relative to purgatory. So Nimso Kolo Elum Kulo Kikisui Kedera Legenim. It's like the cover of a pot. The cover is much smaller than the pot itself. It's like the cover of a pot relative to Gehenim. Whatever the case is, if you starting with the 400 by 400 statistic for Mitzrayim, then multiplying that by 60, so right there you're getting to a rather large number, and then you multiply that by another 60, the world is more than 6,000 parsa. That's Tiyufta. That is a problem. That is a repudiation of Rava's claim that the world was 6,000 parsa. Toshma, Detona Debe Elio. We have another Tanaic source from the what's known as the Tona Debe Elio. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Kol HaYishuv Kulo Tachas Koichov Echod Yoshev. All of the inhabited part of the world. Yishuv is where the world is settled. Now, beyond the settled part of the world, there are oceans, there are rivers, there are other areas that are not contained within Yishuv. So there's the Olam, which contains much more than the Yishuv, than the inhabited part. So Kol HaYishuv Kulo Tachas Koichov Echod Yoshev. The inhabited part of the world exists under one star. Now, to prove that point, Teida, Sharei Odom Noisein Eino B'Kochav Echod, a person can focus on one particular star. Heilich Lemizroch Oimei Kenegdo. He walks east to the extreme east of the inhabited world. That star is still overhead. La'arba Ruchos Oilam Oimei Kenegdo. You can walk to any of the other directions, all four directions of the world, till the edges of the settled area, and Oimei Kenegdo, that same star is overhead. Michlal Dechol HaYishuv Kuloi Tachas Koichav Echod Yoshev. The result being that the entire habited part of the world is under one star. Now, the Rashi elaborates on this. He's Tachas Koichav Echod Omeid V'Kamo Koichavim Yesh Berokia. How many stars are in the firmament? Liain Misports. Without a number, the cave of the Kochav Echod Machzik es Kol HaYishuv, and since one star contains the inhabited area, V'royin Onu Shayishuv Yosim Elef Parsa, and we see that the Yishuv itself, the inhabited part, is more than 1,000 parsa. Hare Kama Kochavim Shiborakia Yishuv Echod L'chol Kochav, and as far as the number of stars, there are many stars, one star per habitation. V'yamim uvenahoros midboros. Then you calculate that there's the seas and the rivers and the deserts that are not part of the habitation. V'ilu ein borakia eloshisha kechavim. Had there been only six stars in the firmament, hare kan sheshes alofen parsi, that would account for 6,000 parsa. So that the idea being here is that one star covers an area of 1,000 parsa. In other words, it's responsible, if you will, for 1,000 parsa. If the heavens had only six stars in it, so then I would say there's 6,000 parsa that are accounted for in the world. However, kol sheken sheish kechavim yosem yishisha alofim koichav lekol parsa. There are many more stars that would account for many more, much, much more than 6,000 parsa. Once again, if one star accounts for 1,000 parsa, and each star is assumed to account for another 1,000 parsa, so the oilom is much larger. So that is Tiyufta. That represents, again, another repudiation of Rava. Continuing in the Gemara, number 4, Toshma, Eglo, Betzofon, Ve'akrov, Bedorom. These are names of constellations. Eglo is a calf, and Akrov is a scorpion. So the Eglo is in the north, the scorpion in the south. V'chol ha'yishuv kulo eino yoshev elo Bain Eglo Lakrov. And the entire habited part of the world is positioned between Eglo and Akrov. V'chol Yishuv Kulo Eino Have Elo Shaw Achas Bayom. And the inhabited part of the world accounts only for 1 hour of the day. In terms of constellation movement, etc., it's only 1 hour of the day, and you've covered the entire inhabited part of the world. And to prove that idea, or to demonstrate that, Shein Chamo Nifneses LeYishuv Elo Shaw Achas Bayom. The sun is said to be in the Yishuv only 1 hour of the day. Teida shebechomesh achamo b'mizrach ubesheva chamo b'marov. At the 5th hour of the day, the sun is in the eastern half of the sky. In the 7th hour of the day, the sun is in the western half of the sky. Chatzi shesh v'chatzi sheva. During the period of half of the 6th hour and half of the 7th hour, chamo oimedes b'roish kol odom. Only then the sun is overhead, over where all the people are. Tufta, this is, again, another repudiation. Because as far as just the Yishuv area accounts for 1 hour of the sun's movement, all the other 11 hours, the sun is over the Oilam and is beyond the area of the Yishuv, and that shows us that the world is much greater than 6,000 parsa, because as we indicated before, the Yishuv itself represents 1,000 parsa, so the Oilam itself is much greater. It's at least 11 times more. So this again is a tufta, a repudiation of Rava. Toshma, this is our number 5, and in order to develop this point, we have a long marking that takes you down almost to about 10 lines down the top of Omid Beis. This marking features a discussion between the emperor of Babylonia, the king of Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar, and a heavenly voice. Nebuchadnezzar was said to be a very haughty individual, someone who thought he could challenge the Almighty himself. So we see in this Gemara, Toshma, Yomar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ma tshuva heshivosoi basko leoisoi rosha. What response did the heavenly voice issue to that wicked man, a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, b'shol shoma, when he had said, Ele al bomose ov, Edame le'elyon, that I will rise to the heights, and I will be similar to the Almighty, to the He who is on high. Yotza basko v'omraloi, the heavenly voice came forth and said to him, Rosha, ben, we're at the top of Omid Beis, ben benoi shel Nimrod ha-Rosha, wicked one, son of wicked one, descendant of Nimrod, the wicked one. Nimrod was a king at the time of Avraham Avinu, and he was called Nimrod Shehimrid es kol ha'olam kuloi olai b'malchuso, who caused Nimrod, from the root word merid, is to cause rebellion, that caused the world to rebel against me, the Almighty. Shehimrid, let's read that again. Shehimrid es kol ha'olam kulo olai b'malchuso. During his reign, he attempted to arouse the masses to rebel against me. Kamo shnoisav shel adam. How much time does a person live? Shivim shana. Vim begvuros shmonim shama. And if he has additional strength, so he'll make it to 80 years. Shenemar yemei shnoiseyem bohem shivim shana. Vim begvuros shmonim shana. Our life is established at 70 years, and if fortunate and one has strength, then till 80. Min ha'oretz ad l'rokia. Now you, Nebuchadnezzar, claim that you're going to rise to the heavens and be like me, the Lord, and be a challenge, etc. So let's see if you can actually do that. He says, from the ground till the rokia, mahalech chomesh meos shana. It would take 500 years to traverse that distance. Ve'uvio shel rakia mahalech chomesh meos shana. And the thickness of the rakia is another 500 years. Ubein rakia l'rakia mahalech chomesh meos shana. And between each rakia, each heaven level, there is 500 years. Ve'chein bein kol rakia rakia. In other words, each rakia, the gap between them is that, or each rakia has that thickness, and the distance between each rakia is that. Ach, and now look at that. The a man is practically not going to get off the ground, time wise, with all of this in mind. So how do you expect to rise to the heavens and present a challenge? Ach el shol turad el yarkasei bor. Your destination is down into the depths, to the bottom of the pit. Whatever the case is, as far as Nebuchadnezzar is concerned, from the description of the dimensions that we were given over here, is Tufta, we see a repudiation of that which Rava said. The Rashi points out that we see from here that the Olam is Mahalech Chomesh Meos Shana, and if you take 500 years and make the calculation based on 10 parsa per day, you'll find that the world is much, much more than 6,000 parsa, because you would be taking 10 parsa per day times 1 year is 365 times 500. So that gives you a much larger number than a mere 6,000 parsa for the size of the world. Tufta, this is a repudiation. As we go on in the Gemara, we see another series marking. And on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei is the topic heading with the Mivneh structural note, three Mekoros B'Nosei Hiluch HaShemesh V'Amazolos Barakia, three sources regarding the movement of the sun and the constellations in the firmament. In the source that we're about to learn, a diamond will highlight Teguvoisov Shel Rebbe B'Braisa HaRishona. These are responses of Rebbe that we see in the first Brisa. And we must repeat our disclaimer that we made at the beginning of this Gemara, that more than attempt to translate the words and be able to offer a coherent explanation of what we are describing, this is beyond our capability. So, with that in mind, we will continue with the translation. Tana Rabbanan, Chachme Yisrael, Omrim. And in this source you see a difference of opinion between the Chachme Yisrael, the wise men of the Jewish people, and the wise men of the Umos HaOlam. As far as exactly which wise men we're referring to, who are the Chachme Yisrael, that is not clear by learning this source. But a controversy between, say, traditional Jewish wisdom and the perception on the part of the Umos HaOlam will be featured here. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Galgal Kavua Umazolos Chozrin. The Galgal, which is literally a wheel, it's the heavenly construction, is fixed, and the Mazolos, the constellations, they move and have a fixed place in the heavens, to where they, you know, as they move and return to their place on a cyclical basis. And the Chachmei Umos HaOlam Omrim Galgal Chozer Umazolos Kavuim. The Chachmei Umos HaOlam, the wise men of the nations of the world, they say the opposite. V'chachmei Umos HaOlam Oimrim Galgal Chozer Umazolos Kivuin. The Galgal entity is in movement, and the constellations are fixed. Rashi points out Galgal. We read the Rashi together. Kamin Oifen. Oifen is a wheel. Kamin Oifen Barakia. It's a type of wheel in the firmament. Shamazolos Nesunin Bo, into which the constellations are affixed. Galgal Kavua, V'eino megalgel elo ke'ein oifen agola hamunach bekarka. The galgal is fixed and it doesn't turn other than like a wheel of a wagon that's lying on the ground. Avol hamazolos mahalchin soviv hiluch muat. V'ein makifen es hagalgal elo kol mazol mishamish es hachamo nod mimakomo umalicho ad chavero v'chozer limakomo. Lefikoch ein eglo nireis bedorom v'lo akrov betzofon. Shari ein makifen elo mahalchin hiluch muat v'chozerin. The idea here that's being expressed is that the constellations move, but only a very small amount. Therefore, the Akrov remains in its part of the hemisphere, and the Egla remains in its part of the hemisphere. We continue in the Tanaic source. Omar Rebbe, Tshuva l'Divrayim, a response to what they say. Me'olam lo motzinu Egla b'dorom v'Akrov b'tzafon. Following the bracketed section, we have another point of disagreement between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Here we have a Gemara interruption in the brackets. Maskif lo Rav Achov Bar Yankiv. Rav Achov asks regarding what was just said regarding the Galgal and the Mazolos. V'dilma kibutzino derechaya. Maybe the movement is like a grindstone. Now the butzino derechaya, Rashi explains, Dilma ki butzino derechaya kebarzel hatokuv benekev rochov sheberechayim. It's a we'll call it the axle of a grinder she hashochev omed, where the lower stone is fixed in place omed b'mekoyimav barzel choser. And when we speak about the grindstone, there are two stones between which the item to be ground is placed, and the upper stone moves around, and the barzel, this metal iron axle that's in between them, that runs through the center of the two stones, v'barzel chozer v'imbosa legalgeo hashochev mizgalgeo soviv v'barzel v'barzel oimei b'mekomo. If the stones are going to revolve, the axle remains fixed in its place. It's the stones that are moving. And another analogy to this is Inami Kitsinuro de Dosha. This is the Dosha is a door, and the Sinura is the hinge upon which the door sits and swings open and closed. Rashi has another description along these lines, but as we said, we are going to continue because this particular Gemara is a little bit beyond the purview of our abilities. We continue in the Gemara with Roman numeral number 2. Chachmei Yisrael omrim b'yoyim chama maleches lamato minorakia ubalaylo lamalo minorakia. The Chachmei Yisrael claim that the sun moves during the daytime underneath the rokia. Again, the rokia is a somewhat difficult term to explain. On the simple translation, it deals with the firmament, the heavens. But here we're talking about below the heavens and above the heavens. So whatever is referred to, that's something that requires greater research. Nevertheless, the Chachmei Yisrael say that during the daytime, the chama travels below the rokia, and ubalaylo lamalo min rokia. V'chachmei umos ha'olam lamalo means above the rokia. V'chachmei umos ha'olam omrim b'yom chama maleches lamato min rokia. During the day, the sun is below the rokia. Ubalaylo lamato min rokia. So according to the Chachmei umos ha'olam, during the day it's lamato min rokia, and at night it's lamato min rokia. Amar Rebbe, Nirim Divrayim, Midivrayinu. Their opinion seems to be more acceptable than ours. Shebiyoim, Mayonos Tzoninim, Ubalaylo, Roschin. During the daytime, the mayonas, the springs, the water springs, are cool, and at night, they are hot. Tanya, we continue with a second source concerning these matters. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Yemoisa Chamo, Chamo Me'aleches Begova Shel Rukia. During the summer months, the sun is overhead in the firmament. Lefikoch Kol Olam Kulo Roseach U'Mayonos Sonim. Therefore, the world is warm and the wellsprings are cool. During the rainy season or the winter months, the sun is at the lower, shipul is the lower part of the firmament, or the edges of the firmament, closer to the ground, so to speak. Lefikoch kol ha'olam kulo tzone, the world is cool, umayonos roschim, and the wellsprings are hot. Tonu Rabbonon, be'arbo shvilin chamo mehaleches. The sun follows four pathways, and the four pathways will be described in this source in quarters, 3 months of the year per path. Nisan, Iyar, v'Sivan, Maleches, v'Horim. The sun is in the mountain pathway. Kedei lefasher es hashlogim, in order to melt the snows, the snow that accumulated on mountaintops. Tammuz of ve'Elul, continuing in the annual cycle, the months of Tammuz of and Elul, maleches beyishuv kedei levashel es haperos. The sun travels over the inhabited part of the world in order to ripen the fruits. Tishrei marcheshvan v'kislev, maleches ba'yamim. It travels over the seas in order to dry out the rivers. Teves Shvat Ve'Adar, during those months, Maleches Bamidbar Shelo Liabesh Es Hazroim. It follows the path of the deserts so as not to dry out the seeds. As we said at the beginning, and we say here in conclusion, as far as this section is concerned, that we offer our apologies and disclaimer for our inability to explain any more than an attempt at translating. We continue with the Gemara and the topic of Derech Rechoika, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Me'askupas, v'chule. He spoke about, Rabbi Eliezer mentioned that if a person is outside the threshold of the temple courtyard of the Azora, he is considered Bederech Rechoka, and he would be exempt from the Pesach Rishon. V'afagav demotzi ayel, even though he can easily walk in, basically taking a step over the threshold, so to speak, he's right there. Even so, he is exempt if he's not in the courtyard on the 14th of Nisan, he's exempt from the Korban Pesach. V'lo amrinon, and we don't insist, Lo amrinon le, we don't tell him, kum ayo, get up and go in. V'hotanya, but we have the following source, Yehudi Orel, Shalomol, a Jew who did not circumcise himself. Circumcision is a binding factor in order to be eligible to do a Korban Pesach. Now, if you have a Jew who did not circumcise himself, Onush Kores, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, for not having taken the action to make himself eligible, he is going to be guilty of a Kores punishment. So we see from here that if you have something to do to make yourself eligible, you have to do it. We say, get up and circumcise yourself. So by the same token, wouldn't Rabbi Eliezer say, get up and walk into the temple courtyard? In response to this, we have Abaye and Rava. On the side of the one that are no say, we have two gishois, two approaches. Liashev Shita Rebbe Elazar b'Mishneh, Demashma lo machrichim odem shomei michutz leskupa likores. We want to resolve the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. On the one hand, in the Mishnah, he indicates we don't force someone to go into a situation of becoming obligated. in Shitas Rabbi Elazar b'Brais, want to resolve that with Shitas Rabbi Elazar, with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that we see in another Tanaic source, Sheomer Yehudi Orel Chayav Kores Ala Pesach, that a Jew who remains uncircumcised is going to be Chayav, the Kores punishment regarding the Pesach, the Mashma de Machrichon Solimo. It seems that we force him to circumcise himself. So Abaye explains, Derech rechoika letohar, v'ein derech rechoika letomei. The exemption of derech rechoika, that's an exemption for someone who is tohar. However, for someone that is defiled, there the issue of being at a distance, being baderech rechoika, is irrelevant. Someone is tamei, so he is exempt, regardless of his ability to become fit or not. By the same token, we say the same thing with regard to the arlus, that the whole concept of derech rechoika, of being at a distance or within the distance, doesn't apply to someone who is uncircumcised. And therefore, there is no exemption for the person who is uncircumcised. The Rashi, under the Gemara text, derech rechoika, potro es hator, someone who is at a physical distance from Yerushalayim, that's the reason for exempting someone that happens to be tor, varehu bederech rechoka, who happens to be at this, he's too far away. Dechutz la'azora, derech rechoik mikri, the idea of being outside the azora, even though it's very close, it's still called derech rechoik. The alfino mirichuk mokom de meiser, we learn the concept of rechuk mokom, of distance, from the concept of from the laws of meiser, the laws of tithing. Ma lahalon chutz lemokom echshiro, just like in the case of meiser, we say that if you are outside mokom echshiro, the place that it becomes edible, which is in Jerusalem, when we're talking about meiser sheni, the Meiser Sheni tithe, you are said to be far away, that's a literal translation, but you're away from the place which has practical bearing regarding can you still redeem the Meiser Sheni fruits. We say you can redeem them if you're outside the Mokom Echsher, or if outside Yerushalayim. How far outside? One step outside. That's called Rochik. Afkan, so too, with regard to the Korban Pesach, Chutz l'mokom echshero, v'echshero de Pesach ba'azora. The idea expressed in the pasuk by Pesach of being the richuk mokom, it's where you're away from, you're separated from the place that it is processed. Hilchach lo amrinon le kum ayel. Therefore, since he is berichuk mokom, we don't say get up and go in. Avol ein derech rechoika b'tomei. The concept of being at a distance, again, not physical, but conceptual, of being distanced from the goal of doing the Korban Pesach, that concept of derech rechoika doesn't apply with regard to the realm of defilement. The lav mishum time of the richuk iftar tomei. The person who is tomei is not exempted because of having anything to do with distance, with being far away or any physical separation space wise. Elomishum the lomotzi ochelurta. The tomei who is exempt is because he is not fit to eat that evening. Va'achinami ein derech rechoika l'orel. By the same token, the concept of derech rechoika does not apply to someone who is uncircumcised. The balance of this Rashi goes on to explain why, when referring to the orel, is the Gemara referring using the term tomei. But we continue in the Gemara itself. Therefore, there is the Rabbi Eliezer might have said that someone who is outside of the Korban Pesach place is potter, is exempt. That is not a contradiction with regard to Rabbi Eliezer's state halacha with regard to the need for circumcising. Rava Omar, Tanoihi. There's a machlokas Tanoim. Within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So that what we saw as a presentation of Rabbi Eliezer min Askupa of Alachutz, we'll see there's a machlokis about that. The Sanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Nema Richuk Mokum bePesav, Nema Richuk Mokum bMeiser. The term Richuk Mokum is stated both by Pesach, Richuk meaning distance from, far away from, is stated by Pesach, and it's also stated with regard to Meiser Sheni, the tithe that one removes from his produce the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the agricultural cycle. So the concept of Richuk Mokum is stated there as well. Ma lahalon chutz lachiloso, just like with regard to the dinim of Meiser, if you're outside the place that you can eat it, well, what's the place you can eat it? Well, within the walls of Yerushalayim. So if you're out that place, that's considered Richuk Mokum. And as we mentioned before, the practical application of this is that you would still be able to redeem your fruits, transfer their sanctity onto money, and then bring the money into Yerushalayim and buy with it food that you'll eat there. So as far as the Tanakama version of Rebbe Lezer is, that Richuk Mokom is simply not a physical distance, but means being outside of where you can do whatever you need to do. In the case of Meiser Sheni, you're outside the place that you can eat those fruits, and in the case of the Korban Pesach, you're outside where it's to be eaten. That's Chutz L'Achilosa, means you'd be outside Jerusalem. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, Chutz Lasioso. That the place that it's done is the Azora, so that you'd have to be outside the Azora to be considered Berichuk Mokim. So you have a Machlokes Tanoim within Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold constitutes Richuk Mokim? And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so he is the Mishnah. Is similar to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer. Kiman az loha di omar Rabbi Yitzchok bar Rav Yosef. Like whom would Rabbi Yitzchok's teaching follow? B'tmeim haloch achar rov ha'oimdim ba'azor. In order to determine whether the majority of the people are tamei, you determine the majority by those who are standing in the azor. They are the only ones that are of consequence. So Kiman, according to whom would that be taught? Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Sheomar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. And that is the sheet that we saw at the end of the Tanaic source we just quoted, that the Om de Bazora is that which determines the tzibor, the community, the nation, only those that are standing in the Azora. So this statement of Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef is based on the Tanaic opinion of Rav Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in the source just above. Omar lo Rabbi Yossi, lefikoch v'chulei. Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah spoke about the dot above the hay in the word rechoka. Tanya Rabbi Yossi gluli omer. Derech Ruchoika, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, quoting the Pasuk, says, Derech Ruchoika, Shomei Ani, Mahalich Shnaim Ushloshi Yomim, with Derech Ruchoika, would sound to me like you're really far away, 2 or 3 day journey by foot. Kishu Omer Uva Derech Lohoya, Magid Shemeaskupas, Huazora Velachutz, Korui Derech. From the fact that the Pasuk, in describing this din of being berichuk makayim, it says b'derech lo haya. He wasn't on the road. Magid shemeaskupas ha'azora v'lachutz kori derech, namely that only if he was in the azora would he not be exempt from kores. The expression b'derech lo haya indicates he wasn't on the road. Where does the road begin? From the threshold of the Azora outwards, so to speak. And if he is there, so then he is considered baderech, and as such would not be chayav koris for not having done the korban pesach. Even though, as we said before, he's just a matter of taking a couple steps and he's in the azara. Nevertheless, if he's not there, he is exempt. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.